105 Drive with Julian Clover. Cambridge 105.
So I'm here at Stapleford Granary and I'm just interrupting Steve Bingham, who's preparing for a concert this evening. So thanks ever so much for giving us a bit of your time, because I know you're under pressure with all this kit.
That's okay. One more wire with a microphone compared to all the kit around me.
Yes.
There's nothing.
Absolutely. I'm looking at all sorts of interesting things on the floor and obviously a beautiful electric violin. So I'm going to ask Steve about his concert. So what's really important is, can you tell me and the listeners what live looping is?
What I do is I record things that I'm playing live. So I record them as I'm playing them. Nothing's pre-recorded. And then I use software to play back what I've recorded and add more layers. So it's a way of building up layers and layers of music with just one person.
Right.
On an instrument, the violin, which is not naturally a multi-part instrument like a guitar or a piano, or similar instruments. It can do chords, but mostly it's a single line instrument. So this is a way of building up some really interesting textures just with the one instrument.
So the preparation you do for this is the music, but you're not coming with anything already pre-recorded. It's the fact that you've worked it through at home. Yeah. And you know what it's going to be, but it's all laid down here when we sit and watch and listen.
Yeah, I have to record the right things at the right time and play them right.
Yeah.
Because, of course, if you do a loop and you record something and you make a mistake, it comes back to haunt you 27 times in the piece.
Yes.
And so you have to be very accurate with each of the loops that you're recording, because, of course, they just do come around again and again.
Yeah. I mean, that's the live element, isn't it? Because I think it's very easy for those of us that are not in the know to think, actually, perhaps you've put all these down in your studio at home and you're playing part of it, but that's not the case
at all. I deliberately wanted to get away from backing tracks. It may be something that I'll explore in the future, but at the moment I wanted to do everything. I wanted anything that I did to be possible live with nothing pre-prepared.
It's quite a brave thing to do.
It is rather silly, I think. What you learn is a different way of working, because the side that I come from, classical music, if you make a mistake, it's gone in a second. Obviously, you don't want to make a mistake, but it's happened in a live concert and it's over. And you have to learn to ignore that and not let that affect your concentration and keep going. When you do loops, it's not really a case of the show must go on, because sometimes you press the wrong pedal, it happens, and something horrible happens to the software. Because you've pressed the wrong pedal, it's nearly always human error, by the way, not software. Mm. The software's very reliable. And you have to start again, and then you learn that the show mustn't go on. The show sometimes has to stop, and you say, sorry, audience, I'm going to just start that one again. And so it is a different skill set to learn, to be able to not get fazed by that.
And the fact that it is just you, whereas normally in a musical environment you're with other players, even if, for instance,
I've done some looping with other people, with duos and with speaker and various things. But it is the whole point, I think, originally of it, for me anyway, was to be able to do music that I wouldn't normally be able to do. Tonight's an exception, because I'm doing some new things and I'm deliberately doing just electronics, just the electric violin, just the looping. But normally in concerts, I mix it with stuff on the acoustic violin, the normal violin as well. And it means that you can sustain an evening on your own without just playing Bach.
Yes.
Which is wonderful, of course, but not right for every audience.
Yeah, absolutely. So you've mentioned Bach, so what makes a good piece for looping? I mean, is there a sort of something you look for when you either hear something or see
I do
a piece of music?
I do tend to listen to pieces now and think, I wonder if I could loop that. So minimalist music that has repeating figures rather naturally in it is very good. Quite a lot of pop music is good, so I tend to have pop arrangements and things. I've got a couple of very good arrangers who I do some of my own, but they do things for me as well, which is great. And I've had quite a few people now write original music for me. Two or three pieces I'm going to play tonight are original pieces that have been written for me. So that's really nice. So it's a wide variety of music, really. Everything from arrangements of classical things or film music to, as I say, pop arrangements and so on.
Mm, that's really interesting. I think I'm really interested in the fact that you almost can't listen to things now without thinking, will that actually work?
I'm perhaps a little OCD anyway, so...
Well, I That's the way most of us operate, I think. But these solo electronic concerts are not the only thing you do in your life, are they?
I think portfolio career was invented for people like me.
When I spoke to you about a year ago about this, I think I was looking and thinking, crikey, you've done an awful lot more since I last talked to you about what you've been up to. But I think conducting's really a big thing.
Yeah,
now.
I mean, I got into conducting about 10 years ago, and just with amateur orchestras. But it's very, very enjoyable. Mm. It's a sort of natural extension to being a leader for an amateur orchestra, I think, to have that little more responsibility for the end result. And I really enjoy that. It's a nice way to explore repertoire. Pieces that I played as a violinist when I was in the 90s and 2000s, doing a lot of professional freelance orchestral work as a violinist, pieces that I played quite a lot, I realised that I didn't really know until I started studying the score. And it's a really nice way to get more out of a piece, I think.
Yes, because you're
I enjoy working with the amateur players.
Yeah.
Generally, they're very enthusiastic.
Yes, because they're giving of their time.
Exactly.
So it's a different matter, isn't it? And as you say, you're having to look at the whole piece of music rather than concentrating on first desk, first violin things.
It does give you a different perspective.
It does,
which
indeed.
I like.
Yeah. But you talked about people writing and arranging for you and this looping setup. But what about other original things that you're involved in? I think video is one of your things. And
I'm co-founder of a thing called Part Play.
Yes.
It's an online music service, partplay.co.uk. And in fact, we're just about to do a big marketing push on that. And that's aimed at all sorts of musicians, from students through to amateurs. And what we've done is we've taken, so far, mostly string quartets. We've just added clarinet for the first time. But we've recorded string quartets, professional quartets, with professional video cameras in a studio. And then we've got a system whereby we can record the parts separately, so that on the website, the end user can take out, if they're a viola player, they can take out the viola part and play along with three professional players. And it's been a lot of technical challenges. We've been working on it for about 2 years now.
Yeah.
And as I say, we're just really launching it now. In fact, for the whole of April, we're doing a special offer, and you can get the whole year using our entire catalogue. At the moment, that's nearly 50 movements, and it's expanding at a movement a week at the moment, and that's hopefully going to carry on for £10, which is a bargain, I think.
That's it's just the most
to play along with
resource, isn't it?
Yeah,
you're
learning your
part at home, or you haven't the opportunity to play with a quartet. Mm. That's just fantastic.
Well, we're hoping if we get there's a sort of number of subscribers one needs to make it viable, and then we're hoping to expand out. As I say, we've just started a clarinet plan. We're hoping to branch out into other wind instruments and voice as well. Mm. I'd love to do soprano, alto, tenor, bass arias, so you can sing along with a quartet of professionals. And we've got interviews with the players and so on, and close-up videos and all sorts of things. So that's been a lot of hard work.
Yes,
there's
absolutely
a huge amount of post-production.
Yes.
I'm hopeful that it's a resource that's worth doing. I mean, my co-founder, Philip Aird, and I both felt that it was important from the teaching aspect as well to have something. So in fact, all the student works, all the works that are below about grade 4 level on Part Play are completely free. We managed to get some sponsorship from a string manufacturer, so we were able to offer that free, so youngsters can just sign up for absolutely no cost at all.
That's a fantastic resource.
I think ask me in a month and see how many sign-ups we've got in a month. So if you're out there and you play a string instrument or a clarinet, £10.
Yes, well, I think I'm probably doing a concert with you in about a month, so that will be an opportunity. What I also want to know is, do you still find time for playing in orchestras and quartets and so on when you're not out the front conducting or you're not doing this?
I don't really do any professional orchestral playing these days, more by choice than anything else, I think. But I do have my string quartet.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been going since 1985, and I really enjoy that because it's a wonderful repertoire.
Yeah.
So that's a great thing, and it's lovely when that's reasonably busy, which it is at the moment. It's lovely.
I mean, as you said earlier on, it really is such a mixture of a portfolio career, isn't it?
I'm a bit mad, I think.
You're a bit...
I think I must be, or either that or I don't know how to say no.
I'm not commenting on that at all. I don't think so. So, Steve, it'd be brilliant if you could just show us a few examples of the sort of things you might do this evening, or actually how the looping works.
I think what I'll do is just do a couple of very simple loops. So we start with the electric violin. It's got five strings. I have an extra C string like a viola, which is just useful for low things. So for instance, I've got a little pedal box. I can't control the loops with my hands because I'm using my hands for playing. So I've got some foot pedals, which I use mostly with my left foot, and they turn on and off the software to record. So if I do something like, I can just record that as I'm doing it. And the click that you will have heard there was me stopping the recording and making it play. And now what you're hearing is the recording we've just made. And then what I can do is I can add layers to that. So that original layer, which is going there, I can now add some harmony if I want to. Another layer. Add another one. Obviously, there's more complicated things I can do by muting layers and doing different harmonies. But with this particular example, I can just keep adding as long as I like. And I can fade the loops with an expression pedal. I can fade them out, but they're still going. And one thing the violin can't do is really nice bass lines. So for my right foot, I have another set of pedals, which is like an octave of a keyboard, an octave of a synthesizer for my feet. So if I fade those back in again, I can add a little bass line. And there you have it. And we'll gently fade them out to darkness.
Thank you so much for talking to us and taking time out from your busy schedule and actually your busy evening in preparation for what I know is going to be a wonderful concert this evening.
Pleasure.
At Stapleford Granary.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.